Hey, it's Ralph here. Q1 is now closing and it probably didn't go as well as you had hoped, but I'm sure your agency is probably telling you that they crushed it. But in reality, it crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you are, if there's something wrong, but you can't quite put your finger on what that thing is, go on over to tier11.com/apply and we'll set you up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business. Not just metrics that make us agencies look good, but something that actually moves the needle and makes you more money, acquires more new customers, and ultimately achieves your vision. Head on over to tier11.com/apply today.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Hey, it's Ralph here. Q1 is now closing and it probably didn't go as well as you had hoped, but I'm sure your agency is probably telling you that they crushed it. But in reality, it crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you are, if there's something wrong, but you can't quite put your finger on what that thing is, go on over to tier11.com/apply and we'll set you up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business. Not just metrics that make us agencies look good, but something that actually moves the needle and makes you more money, acquires more new customers, and ultimately achieves your vision. Head on over to tier11.com/apply today. Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast.
It's the show where we don't talk about government corruption because I'm behind on my taxes, and we do talk about performance marketing.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm Ralph Burns, the founder of Tier 11.
And I'm John Moran. I'm actually a new person here at Tier 11, which is actually something we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about this one. There's our scripted intro for those of you who are listening. We are not going to be scripted here at all today because we have John Moran, who is, as many of you probably know, have been on this show. I mean, I think probably more so than any other guest host. And as Kasim is in, I don't know where he is. I think he's in either Argentina, Venezuela, Bolivia, Colombia.
He's somewhere
south.
Yeah,
which is great because we had the opportunity to get John on the show here this week. And John has teamed up with Tier 11, and we are very, very excited about that. We've been on the show as a Solutions 8 guy, as a Google guy for a number of years, and obviously we're going to be doing some tactical Google stuff here today, but I think probably the listeners might want to know a little bit more about how this whole thing evolved. What happened? Why is John Moran, the John Moran, as he's known in many, many circles, as a Google guy, which is a misnomer? We're going to be talking more about that here today, but how did it evolve so that you ended up joining forces with us at Tier 11?
Yeah. It's kind of like the next origin story, I guess. But yeah, so I was, obviously, everyone knows, if you're familiar with Kasim, that I was his business partner for many years. And him and I went through a successful acquisition of our company. And one of the things that I think has always kind of hamstrung us in really being able to move the full needle for a business, not just necessarily the Google portion, is because we were just a Google Ads agency. And I am known as the Google guy. That's just because I chose the one that was harder. Google Ads is the paid media source. I believe it's Google Ads is more complicated than Meta just as a whole. And I probably just pissed off probably like 40,000 people listening right now, but more just like the details inside of Google Ads, because Google tricks people more often than helps. So I made it kind of my focus on Google Ads, but I do know Meta pretty well, TikTok, LinkedIn. So I know SEO. We used to be an SEO agency, Cosmo and I was many, many moons ago. So I have a really good understanding of all of the aspects of paid and non-paid media. We couldn't ever really move the needle outside of Google Ads because we were a Google Ads agency. I mean, all of our leadership team, our tactics, our SOPs, our employees, everything was Google Ads. And then we have to like help the Meta teams if there was a underperforming Meta team with our client, and then help the CRO person, then help the email person, then help the SEO person. And now we're wearing a bunch of different hats, but paid as one. And when we're looking through all the clients that we necessarily have scaled over the years, it was when we were almost acting like a surrogate CMO. And so that's where I think that when you can take control of a company's narrative and traffic and five layers above what maybe an individual agency might be looking at in app, you actually can see the forest for the trees. And so tier 11 does all that, though. Tier 11 does use all aspects of a business from a paid and non-paid marketing perspective in order to really move the needle. Ralph, what you've been doing is creating kind of a client-centric, we call it client centricity, but client-centric agency was exciting for me because I was getting ready to go on like an anti-agency rant. Because
we bonded over that, I think, initially.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going full force of agencies suck. And I still hold that to be true. And that's when you're like, well, we're not an agency anymore. I'm like, that's it. Because agencies do suck. 99 out of 100, probably more. 999 out of 1,000, probably. Yep. They do. They just look at their own individual metrics, trick a person who doesn't know any better at the company that was hired to hire them. And it just goes round and round. It does that for the last decade. So I think that's why I'm excited to be here, is being able to really, when I say move, I don't mean just make the ROAS go up, but actually grow the client's bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Yeah. And I think this is a hard thing, I think, for a lot of our listeners to wrap their head around, because there are a lot of business owners that listen to this show. There's a lot of agencies that listen to this show. And if you haven't joined our Telegram group, there's a fair amount of agencies that are in there, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. We're going to get John in there too, but you'll be deluged with questions. So be kind. He only has so many hours in the day. Point is that group is a great group because it's going to be real-time input from you, the listener, as to how we can change the narrative on this show. And the interesting thing, I think I posted this yesterday, is that traffic is the least important component of performance marketing right now, in a lot of ways. The strategy that goes along with that is still as important, if not more important. And you do that through multi-channel. But at the end of the day, when an agency is employed by a business, they are there to grow that business, but also to really understand that business. And we've had clients leave us, and I know Solutions 8 has had this same challenge. Even if you're hitting the KPIs and hitting the metrics, performance marketing is one part of it. And that's why we say, you know, we're in this sort of this new realm of how you actually deal with this agency model. And I think the agency model right now, as it currently exists, this fee for service plus percentage of ad spend is wrong. Because it's all product-based. It's all like individual silo-based. Hey, I'll sell you Facebook. Hey, I'll sell you Google. Hey, I'll sell you SMS. Hey, I'll sell you email. Well, who's the one who's bringing it all together and looking at it from, I hate the 30,000-foot view cliche in business, but it's true. And this is what you do. You were not able to do this for multi-channel and control each individual channel working at Solutions 8, even though it's a great organization, super talented people. Obviously, Kasim's a long time, will always be a friend of both of ours, business associate of yours for so many years. Point is like that was one tool in the toolbox. But in order for an agency to really survive, it's not like you want to become this massive multi-channel, multi-platform, power digital, not anything against those guys because they've built a tremendous business. But it's like, it's not just about controlling all the channels. It's about looking what's most important to the client. And what the client really cares about is performance of where the needle is being moved inside their CRM or where the money is actually captured. But also the agency needs to form a partnership so that they are working alongside and helping them to achieve their goals and getting to really understand them. And that's one of the things you do so well, which is one of the reasons why we're so psyched to have you on board with us.
Yeah, I'm psyched to be here. And you know, it's funny, looking back, I don't regret building just a Google Ads agency. It evolved into something I wasn't expecting. What I mean by that is we measured our Google Ads success based on the business health. So when I do a client update call just for Google Ads, I will hop into the back end of their Shopify, measure all customers versus new customers, develop an NCAC, identify what the NMR was, the new media efficiency ratio, compare that against LTV, look at profitability, hop into lifetime. I mean, we did all that. The problem was, is you'd have an agency that was managing Meta that is measuring in-app ROAS and making probably not smart decisions each day that we just couldn't control. And we're like, can they please stop doing X, Y, and Z? This is hurting us. Google Ads in-app is moving in the right direction for all non-brand search terms. I can see in the back end that we do have some attribution of those customers because attribution sucks, but we do see that as bringing us good stuff. But then I see Meta doing $5,000 per day out of a $10,000 per day budget in remarketing of a person that's already bought, that's never going to come back again. And now our spend is often, it's like, can you please stop, you know, tell them not to do that. Mm-hmm. So where we measured in the back end for Google Ads, we saw great performance. And when we were the only channel for that business, it was amazing. It was great. You know, we had 100% of the responsibility.
Right.
But then you ultimately will need the other channels when you kind of get off your infancy stage of your business.
Yeah.
And that's where we're like, well, we hope you find a good Meta agency. Right. Like, go to tier 11. They're good too.
Yeah. I mean, so that ended up having a very nice relationship between our two agencies, you know, which we appreciate as a referral source and still share, a lot of those same customers. Yeah. One of the things that always struck me about whenever we work together is you would never start like, yeah, you will do your screen shares inside the MCC, inside Google, of course, which we're going to do today. So if you want some tactics, obviously, we're going to get some tactics here today from John. So we're not going to talk just all high level, of course, but you would always start with the back end, either with Shopify or the CRM, or even looking at something like a Northbeam or a Wicked Reports. Like, that's where you get that bigger view of where am I growing the business? And I think that's one of the ideas that we really bonded over when we first started talking about this potential merger, even though it's like, all right, you're on tier 11. I look at this as like a merger. Like, we've pulled you into under the tier 11 umbrella, but you're still going to be operating as John Moran. Nothing has really changed there. Like, we want to leverage that brilliance and have that pervade even more so within the organization. I think that unto itself, it's a big switch. So if you're an agency and you're thinking channels, you are looking at the wrong freaking thing. And if you only control one channel, you only control that one aspect of the business. And for us, that is very challenging to do. Now, we still have plenty of customers that we work with, either on Google or Meta, that, you know, they have another agency doing another thing, which is okay. But we're moving more and more away from that, and almost making it an imperative that we control it, which is a big gamble for, we have two or three new customers, and this was the pitch. It's like, put your eggs all in one basket and trust that basket. But the point is like, we, as long as we're client centric, we're moving the needle on your business and we get what you're trying to do, and we might not succeed all the time. That's a new way of looking at things. And having spoken with a lot of other agency owners about what's wrong in the space, there's still a lot of them that are doing it wrong. And even the big, big, big ones, John, the ones that are the big names in our space, like, just don't get it, which is okay.
Oh, that's, you know what's funny is it's the agency's fault and the client's fault, but mostly the agency's fault as to how the measurement has not progressed with real life. What I mean by that is we've been using ROAS for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
The problem is, we have not kept up with social media dilution of that attribution, or the multiple device dilution of that attribution. So when you think about 10 years ago, we didn't, some people did. So if you're like, I had an iPad in 2012 or 2014, great. But if you think about like 12 years, even like 2009, I mean, it's been 15 years. I'm old and I have bad memory. So it's been 15 years. That's how we measure success is ROAS. But you would go home, you turn on your computer, you do a search and you click on an ad, and tracking back then, because everyone was intrusive, it was like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you've done for like 90 days. Mm-hmm. Now it's social media has non-click attribution, and then YouTube has non-click attribution, which means, yeah, you've seen a Facebook ad and then you've Googled something, or you've seen a YouTube ad and then you've Googled something. And then you have YouTube audio, which is also non-click attribution. And then you have a tablet, a phone, and sometimes like two laptops. So now you have four devices that are also, when you look at attribution, are going to get, you know, you're standing in line at Starbucks on your phone, then you go home and you open up your laptop. You're like, oh yeah, I did want to buy that. And you Google something. So ROAS is an archaic way of measuring that has not evolved. And everybody has such cognitive dissonance as to, I know that YouTube works, but I'm going to measure it. You're clicking on it, even though I bought 12 things this last year off YouTube ads that I've never clicked on. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect in their mind of, well, I don't know what to do, so let's just measure ROAS. So the individual channels are like, okay, well, cool. I just have to focus on ROAS, which means Google does brand, and then Meta blames Google for taking all the brand and says is them. And yeah, so the way that we have not done any sort of client education as to the way to measure it, simply because I don't think that a lot of clients know, or a lot of agencies know, how to actually measure good performance of omni-channel marketing. And so, yeah, we just have to bring everybody up to speed.
Yeah. So how do you do that? Let's get into the nuts and bolts of it, because it's inexact. You know, it's never going to be precise. And that's something that we've said many, many times here on this show. And people are like, oh, no, like, I want to measure every little thing. We still have customers. I'm like, I want to measure every penny. It's never going to match. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the people that are like, no, I'm going to measure every single piece, they can switch 12 agencies before they figure out, okay, it's me. If everyone else in the room is crazy, you might be the crazy person kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That will just naturally evolve. I'm not worried about those people too much. They will have to get on the ship because it's leaving kind of thing. But for the way that I would normally measure it is when you take a step back as using your marketing tools, which is, let's just say, Google and Meta, for example. If you say, how do I do good marketing in those platforms, not how do I get good measurement from those platforms, your whole mindset changes. Is if you shut off all of your conversion tracking in Google Ads and Meta, I don't actually think you should do that. That's not what the point is. But if you were to shut off all of your measurement inside of those platforms, how would that change what campaigns you would be running? And that's where you have to kind of take a step back where, say, should I just slap Performance Max on and cross my fingers? No, that's being a bad marketer. That's being a good measurer, because Performance Max over attributes. But what would you do if this was your business? That's where things change. You wouldn't measure in-app. You'd measure, can I feed my kids this week?
Right.
That's how you measure. Then you say, well, what is it going to do? Well, I need to get the word out. Aha, maybe YouTube is a good channel. Now, it's going to look bad. Yeah, but I need to get the word out of this new amazing WYSIWYG that no one's ever heard of. Mm-hmm. Performance Max can't do that. Inbound Search can't do that. Branded Search can't do that. All of a sudden, you take this step back. You're like, okay, I need to work on X, Y, and Z. If I couldn't measure that in Google, because let's say I'm a brand new business, what would I do? And millions of businesses have been built that way. But then all of a sudden, millions of businesses stop measuring that way or stop trying to perform that way. So that's where I would say is, if you think about the audiences, part where I think client-centric agencies come in is because we know the platforms so well that we know what the pitfalls, the holes, and where things are going to go haywire. That's where we're able to use the proper campaign types in those platforms in order to actually grow the bottom line metrics, not just how are they going to measure. My campaigns typically have really poor ROAS in app, and I want that because it means it's cold traffic and it's growth.
Yeah.
High, you know, 500-800% ROAS means it's warm audiences that probably already bought from you or already been to your site three times from Meta, and now Google's going to scoop it up.
Right.
So that's what I think is, if you were to think about, if I couldn't measure in Google, what would I actually do? We have a company that we just did a Google Ads turnaround in because we looked at all their top line metrics year over year. And we saw that when Meta cut its budget in half, we only saw like a 4% drop in actual revenue. So Meta was way overspent, or Meta's going after the wrong market, or Meta's going after warm audiences.
Or Meta's just taking credit for a view through conversion that was going to happen anyway.
Right. And we don't look at an app measurement at all.
Right.
We look at what are the spends versus what audiences are going after, then result of what is the actual top line gross revenue. Because that will tell you if those audiences are resonating or not, whether the in-app platform tracked it or not. When we look at those things, we looked at, okay, well, Meta was cut in half because the company was not growing, and that didn't change the bottom line. And then we looked at Google Ads, and we said, well, what's running in Google? And it was like 8 different Performance Max campaigns. And I was like, uh-oh, the Meta that might be driving poor traffic, we know that Performance Max is going to remarket that. Mm-hmm. And it was a product that doesn't have LTV. So we're like, okay, well then Performance Max is going to not only remarket the poor traffic coming from Meta, but also the people that already bought or are not going to buy, 40% of my daily ad spend is delivering to those people, which means if I double that budget, I'm only going to grow by maybe 50%,
right,
which is a hit a point diminishing return starting on day one. But that's what I like is when you're looking at these platforms, you cannot measure in-app, but you have to measure as, is that the structure that's actually going to grow if I couldn't measure in-app? And that's where you're like, actually, probably not. I need to be doing more outreach, or I need to be doing less remarketing, or I need to be spending less on my own branded terms. I'm just going to keep talking until you stop me. So I think that's kind of, hopefully that answers the question. I can even show examples.
Yeah, let's show an example here. I mean, you do need to rethink a great quote from a new customer of ours is, and the reason why they, you know, are firing their agency is that they had their worst month in over a year, and their agency reported back to them. It's like, hey, everything's great. We're at 400%. I forget the, it was like some sort of ridiculous number. 400% ROAS on Facebook. And the client was like, we're crushing it. And the response was, you guys are crushing us because our bank account is down. And all you're doing is you're just either remarketing or you don't know what you're doing. But in so many cases, it's the agency itself misreading the data or trying to take the platform level data and extrapolate that onto the overall health of the business, which is a real mistake.
Yeah. When your sole job is how do I make myself look good in front of my client versus how do I make my client win, you'll ultimately will get fired. During the good days, I mean, booming economy and low interest rates, everything, sure, you could do whatever you want and be fine because you're not on their radar. But as soon as things get a little tough, like the recession that we're going through right now, and I know it's not necessarily quote unquote a recession, but feels like it with all the prices and everything. But that's where people look at the line items and they say, should I be spending this much here and there and here and there? When their business starts to get into a little bit of hot water and you come in by saying, well, I still look good. Yeah, I mean, you'll keep your pride, but you'll be fired. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it goes.
You'll be fired eventually because they'll say, well, I need to move on because my business isn't moving on, even though you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing, what I paid you to do, because you're single channel in some cases. We've talked about that on the show here. I mean, I think there's various levels of fear right now based upon size of business. It certainly seems like the smaller businesses are experiencing that. And the reason why I think we're seeing a little bit more on the attrition side for small businesses, to like that smaller market size, is because even though the wealth effect is in effect right now with the stock market being up and people sort of feeling wealthier, there's an undercurrent that's there. And we'll leave links in the show notes back to our, you know, is there a phantom recession going on, which Kasim and I talked extensively about. So we won't get into that here. But the point is, you know, if you're looking at a single channel and you're just taking it just as it is in platform, you're not getting the full picture. That's the difference between, I think, client centricity and just channel centricity, which is not the way to go. And I think even the large agencies that have multi-channel, a lot of them don't look at it this way. And then it really comes back to, okay, we need to sort of test some things that may or may not work out to see what the net effect is, hey, if we have your Facebook spend, what actually happens? And we have a client that just started with us and we know 70% of their conversions on Facebook are coming from these view-through conversions, which basically means these are people that we're going to buy anyway. Like some of it, but we're finding that new term, which I know that you talk about, and I know we're going to have Scott from Wicked Reports on here because he's got some pretty badass things to show us in this new interface. It's like this NCAC number is a number that you've been using for quite some time now, and it's still not 100% exact. I mean, obviously, North Beam, they model it. You figured that out sort of on your own. Some of these third-party attribution platforms are starting to sort of come around to it, but it's not ROAS. ROAS is a false god. You can manipulate that however you possibly.
Oh, yeah.
It can be manipulated, you know?
Well, the one thing that I always tell people that are like, well, we need to get a ROAS higher and we need X amount of ROAS and X amount of ROAS. I'm like, it's funny. I said, ROAS isn't important because if ROAS was important, why don't I stop all of my ad spend except for your brand name?
Right.
Well, we want new ROAS. Oh, well, that's not ROAS.
That's not ROAS.
NCAC. That's NMERV, you know, new media efficiency ratio, new customer acquisition cost, new versus lifetime value of it. There, now you're thinking outside the box a little bit. The reason why Nike doesn't hire agencies is because they have 15 people in-house that are all working towards one goal and multiple channels. And if we want to say we're better than Nike, I challenge everyone to that. And not just Nike. I mean, use Nike as the representation of all of the large companies. They have 15 people, but they're all working towards one goal together. And every client at some time of ours has felt the Google versus Facebook versus Instagram versus TikTok versus organic versus email versus direct versus, doesn't matter. It's not versus. That's the part two. No, because have you ever heard of Google? Uh-huh. Have you heard of Meta? Uh-huh. No, it can't be true. It's one versus the other. Those people aren't involved in the same channels. No, it's people. That's it. And you have a business. Everything is so specific to a company that you can't measure in-channel ROAS because your company will die, but the agency will win. and then you keep paying them. And that's exactly where it's like, the agency's like, we're crushing it. And the other person's like, you're crushing me. That's the mix, mm-hmm. because they're not measuring correctly. They're not measuring the same thing.
Yeah.
If everyone measures the same way, like 70% of the issues go away.
Yeah.
It's almost like two parents and then feeding a baby. That's what's interesting is the two parents are actually like the Meta agency and the Google agency, and the baby is the client. Mm-hmm. If you're like, well, I fed the baby this formula, like, well, I fed the baby this better formula. Well, you actually overfed the baby because you overspent. Now the baby's hurt. That's what's really interesting, right. is you have to measure what's good for the baby. That's where agencies don't do that.
That's why you have two parents that are supposed to work together as opposed to like work yeah. opposite. We're going down some right. interesting. As you've picked up, John, we're big on analogies, you know, yeah. working in this company yeah. and talking on this podcast here. So can you show some examples of what we're talking about? Yes, we've talked oh, yeah. about this before. And if you're listening and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe Burns is talking about this yet again, I'm going to keep talking about it because this is the future. And if you don't get on the board, you're going to be left behind and your clients yeah. are going to leave you behind if you're an agency. So not that we want anybody to steal our secret sauce here, but it's like we do the show to obviously educate the public, but by extension, we're also educating our competition here, John, which kind of sucks. But you know, I'm a generous guy. So I feel there's enough. There's enough for everyone.
Here's what I'm going to say, something pretty polarizing. The bad agencies aren't going to be able to get this. Just what I share.
Yep.
You know, what's funny is if I was teaching, again, fun with analogies here. It's the analogy show. If I was a board certified medical.
Yeah. You're picking it up.
If I was a board certified medical doctor and I went to a seminar and I taught a new advanced way to do brain surgery, and there's some doctors in there that are like, you know, I just don't get this. Well, then you shouldn't be a doctor. That's my strong opinion. Because nice. When I'm talking about brain surgery, it's saving a human. Okay, when I'm talking about paid media and growing a business, you're feeding children. That's what you're doing. This person has sacrificed their livelihood and to put everything on the line to build a business. And you're like, well, I just don't care about that person or those kids enough to measure correctly. Like, that's what you're doing. You're hurting families. Yeah. And I take that very seriously. So that's the part, too, that I think people don't get. It's like, well, the business went under, but it wasn't my fault. That's basically saying, oh, I just, you know, made a family homeless and it's their issue, not mine. That's where you have to care enough to actually know this stuff inside and out or get a new job. That's how I truly feel. So let's share some examples.
Have to, as we share screen here, and definitely check us out over on our YouTube channel. It's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. Probably one of the best screen sharers in the history of mankind. Check it out over at perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. I think that's an apt analogy because there's this surgery like I actually had on my neck. It's called the C-disc replacement surgery. And I went to 5 surgeons when I've hurt my neck. 4 of them had heard of it and like, I'll never do that. And the 5th one was like, yeah, it's proven to be effective for 10 years in Europe, and we're going to do the surgery. Here I am 5 years later. It's like, I have neck mobility. The point was, it's like doctors, you would think the highest level are not even open mm-hmm. to changing what they used to do. Oh, no. You have to do spinal fusion. That's so antiquated. Mm-hmm. This new type of surgery is something that they reject because they're afraid of it, because they probably have a certain subset of their population say, I'm just going to do the same thing. And that's what I've always done. And I look at agencies yeah. sort of the same way. It's like when there's a new way of looking at things that are coming along, and I know all these attribution tools are not perfect. Northbeam's not perfect. Wicked Reports isn't perfect. Although when we get Scott DeGrassier on the podcast, he is going to say that it is. But the point is that, you know, don't believe those guys. You have to believe like your bank account. That is the source
Period.
Of truth.
That's it.
That's it. It's all that matters.
Exactly. That's literally the only thing that matters, period. And it's scary to measure that way. It's hard. There's a lot of variables. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to know why. But that's what really is the only thing that matters is. And that's why I've dedicated years of my life into doing is how do I actually move that number, not mine? Because I was that person where I'm like, man, 440% ROAS, and we gained $62,000 this last like 3 months. And they're like, well, then why did I lose 10% of my business? Huh? And now I'm the idiot on that call. I literally, at the end of that, I was just like, no, just fire me. Seriously, just fire me. I'm obviously not doing any good. That was a turning point where it's like, when I said, hey, here's the excellent metrics that we get to show, and I actually hurt that business, then yeah, that was where it's like, okay, they all measure the only thing that matters.
That feels like shit.
Bottom line.
We did that too.
Yeah.
We kept saying, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our multi-channel, like, we're doing great. And it's, yeah, you make money. and then you lose in the end.
Yeah.
And I'd rather turn away. I know we haven't really gone philosophical on this. I'd rather turn away business than take it if they don't get that. I mean, we could sell a customer for $50,000 a month. And if I leave in 2 months because they're not happy with our service, like that bot, it's still, I take it personally. Like it's something,
right?
It's still to this day, I've been doing this 10 years. It pisses me off. And I'm like, yeah, what did we do wrong? And I know in the last 6 months, we figured out that it's not about just one channel. It's about understanding the client and feeling good about what we're doing, even if we're failing, even if we're not not getting the result. They say, all right, well, these guys are doing the right things because they have my interests in mind.
Well, and that might turning point, whereas it wasn't necessarily the marketing issue, or was that a business issue? We know Meta and Google works, but what we're doing is testing your actual business. And then you look at offer creation, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, I'm going to stop saying 9 out of 10. Most agencies will have their post getting fired water cooler meeting where it's like, ha, that client was crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they're God, bad they're so us. Stupid. We're awesome, right? High five. And then go and report on another internal ROAS metric. Exactly. And that's the difference between, well, that client's just stupid versus maybe I didn't do my job correctly.
You know, we have one of our favorite leadership books of all time is Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership. And it's like, if a client leaves, it's our fault. It's not because they're crazy. 100%. This has changed considerably. I'm not saying it's perfect and that we're not batting 1,000 here because like you still strike out. But the point is like you have to take ownership of it. I think there are still agencies that are growing, John. Like at last count, like we just bought another report that shows there's 143,000 agencies in the world.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's scary. And it's growing at a 5-6% clip because what do you need? You need a laptop and some subject matter expertise. And that's pretty much it. There's no barrier to entry. And then you undercut people in the market and you just go one channel or single channel. So we just feel that's not the right way to do it.
No, I'll pull up this example.
Let's do some tactical stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. Here's the best part. This is why I love what I do, is because measuring what agencies measure versus measuring what businesses measure are heading, in my example here, the opposite direction. But they're heading in the opposite direction that's better for the business and worse for the agency. So this company here, I mean, literally the last 6 days, it's March 5th through March 10th. We're recording on March 11th, just so everyone knows here.
We are looking inside the Google MCC right now. So if you're not on the YouTube channel, head on over there just so you can see what this is, because this is gold. PerpetualTraffic.com/YouTube. We'll try to explain it as much as possible if you're driving or if you're in the car here.
I'll explain here. So this company was running Performance Max for a while. This here is not necessarily a fault of the agency, because what was being measured at the time looked good. Now, when I helped this agency just on a consultative basis, what we looked at is what is the actual top line metrics year over year? That's the first thing that you want to look at. And then you want to look at spend differences, and then you want to look at revenue differences and the new versus returning customer differences. Those are going to tell you 80% of what you need to know. And what we saw is that Meta was able to kind of reduce its ad spend and not really by about 40% and not really hurt the business bottom line metrics. So he said, okay, that's the first indication that Meta was overspent, but also that Meta was not really necessarily going after a good audience. So when you look inside of Google Ads, and we see that Performance Max was running, I think, 10 campaigns or 12 campaigns, whatever's here, there's like 12 Performance Max campaigns that said, uh-oh, that Performance Max campaign is going to remarket all of that kind of semi-poor Meta traffic. Now, Meta wasn't doing poor. It was just overspent. But then Google's going to subsequently overspend. What is that going to do? It's going to drop your NCAC, drive it up. The new cost for acquire first-time customers is going to be way more expensive than it needs to be. So after Meta pulled back, I said, we need to refresh Google. We need to go after more new customers. We need to go after new cold traffic in Google rather than half Meta traffic and half Google traffic, which is what Performance Max does. Everybody out there that's on an agency side or at this business side probably knows that, oh, I had a bad week in Meta. Subsequently, you see a bad week in Google. That shouldn't really happen. Not that much. Not anything, not week over week. That's not market-based. That's not market demand. That is those two channels being tied too closely together. So when we're looking at how do we turn this company around from a slow death year over year, just by a small percentage points, it was doing good, but you see it wasn't scaling. And that's what I like to do, is we like to scale businesses. So how do we scale? It's not the current structure of the audiences. omnichannel marketers think about what ad spend do I have in these three main buckets. It's prospecting, remarketing, and acquisition. You want to have 70 to 75, sometimes 80% of your ad spend into prospecting. Now, whether that's inbound or outbound or a Meta or in Google, doesn't matter. That's phase two. Phase one is how much of my ad spend is going towards prospecting. And when you look at those channels, we had about only maybe 50%, maybe 55% of our total budget across all channels going towards prospecting, which isn't scalable because now every dollar you put in, you only get 55 cents back. That's not ROAS metrics. That's MER, media efficiency ratio. If I keep overspending on too much of the same audience, it's not going to grow. We need to go after more prospecting, new cold traffic. That's the wrong metric, though, to grow if you want to measure in-app ROAS. But it's the right way to measure if you want to grow the bottom line profit. Mm-hmm. So here's what we did is we went from spending $14,000 on Performance Max from February 28th to March 4th. There was $14,460. Yep. That was reduced because on the 5th, there's $334 here in spend from the 5th to the 10th. But that was just because it turned off on the same day. But yep. For everyone at home not being able to see the screen, February 28th to March 4th, $14,000 was spent on Performance Max. What we then switched to from March 5th through March 10th was standard shopping campaigns. And that standard shopping campaign, we then spent $24,000 on. So we increased the ad spend by about 10 G's. And the structural change that we did is Performance Max was going after a few smaller AOV items that were not the flagship items for the company. And this is where I say you got to put your good marketer hat on, where if I couldn't measure the success of my campaigns, should I be spending money here? And if you look at it, it says, no, we shouldn't really be spending the majority of our ad spend on the product that didn't grow our company. We should continue to spend money on the product that's growing our company. Mm-hmm. Very simple. So we put $24,000 into standard shopping on four standard shopping campaigns. So we consolidated from like 10 PMAXs down to four standard shopping campaigns. And the standard shopping campaigns took a high-low strategy. And what high-low strategy means, you take your top products, your Pareto rule, the 20% of your products that make 80% of your sales, and you put a large amount of ad spend there. This is $2,100 per day. Then we take a what they call the low strategy, which is a catch-all. So let's take the other products that are the 80% of our products that only make 20% of our revenue, and we stick a lower amount of ad spend there. That is $1,000 per day. So what we're doing is we're forcing two-thirds of our budget on prospecting into the products that we know is going to grow the company because, shocker, it's how the company has been growing. Great. We're just doubling down on why we're all here. So then we took a brand campaign that has $1,200 a day because we want to make sure that this is an extremely highly, highly, highly competitive industry. I can't name the industry, but it is a very high competitive industry. So we need to make sure that the money we spend on prospecting will come back and buy from us and not a very similar competitor of ours. So you want to keep that fed enough, but not overfed. And then we have just another product that we definitely want to scale up in the future. And so we put $800 on those singular products. There's only about 10 SKUs in there. But it's a product that is working well, but just didn't have enough ad spend to it. And working well in the back end, meaning we are selling those products. We need to put more money towards those products. Mm-hmm. So restructuring to a Pareto rule, high-low with a brand, and then put $10,000 more into it. Google says we spent $17,000 more in this last 5 days. And we lost 80% of our conversions. So we're down 80% of our conversions. And our conversion value is down 12%. This one was also measuring a lot of ancillary Performance Max sales that actually didn't really matter. And I can't get too far into it, but it was like, think about like the free gifts and the freebies, you know, the easy, fast, cheap wins kind of stuff. Yep. So it looked like we lost 80% of our conversions in Google Ads. And it looks like we lost
the ones that probably are the least profitable for the company.
And don't matter. And don't. And aren't measured. Right, exactly.
Aren't measured, right.
And Google says we lost $20,000. Google says we're down $20,381. So we spent $17,000 more and we lost $20,000 in 5 days. If I was an uneducated client or if I was a less than intelligent agency, this is a failure. I would probably be fired and I would probably say, yeah, I messed up. Fire me. And the client's like, all right, you're fired. Right now, both the client and the agency both think that this is wrong. This is bad. Why? Because we're measuring in-app ROAS. But what actually did happen is we went after new cold traffic on campaigns that are only designed to get the first click. They're not designed to get the second, third, fourth, fifth click because they're non-brand standard shopping campaigns. So when you look at the standard shopping campaign, it's only going to attribute the first click. Because think about how people buy. If I'm looking for, let's say, a new pen, I'm going to Google best office pen. And then I'm going to be introduced to a company called stainlesspens.com. And I'm like, wow, there's such great pens here. I'm going to buy one. What is the next thing you're going to do when you're ready to buy? You're not going to buy best office pen. You're going to Google stainlesspens.com, whatever it is, whatever that name I did. You're going to Google the brand. Mm-hmm. So then let's look at the back end. From March 5th through March 10th, compared to the same days week over week, which is the 27th through the 3rd, I want to measure day over day because some have good weekends versus bad weekdays. So let's just measure week over week, same day over day. We have 24% more sessions. Good, because we scaled up. We have top line. I'm only measuring top line. I don't measure channel attributed. So we just measure top line because that's what the business growth measures. 24% more new users that are 7.7% more engaged. Good. What are the sales? We have 9% more conversions, 14,000 sales up to 15,288 sales. And our revenue went from 215,000 to 283,000. It was a 32% increase in revenue. So if I just pull out my handy dandy calculator, because I failed math in high school and now I do Google Ads and Meta Ads, which is really funny, the most ironic thing you'll ever hear, $67,000 in more revenue top line for $17,000 more spend. So divide that by 17,245. That is a 3.93 incremental MRR, NMRR, which means my new customer growth came in at almost just shy of a 400% MRR, not ROAS, but media efficiency ratio. So that's that incremental growth at a profitable growth. And this is just 6 days. But in this scenario, my ROAS is down 40%. My conversions are gone 80%. Yeah, this looks like a complete failure if the client and the agency were measuring in app. But all we did was just put more ad spend to a colder audience of good products that we know sell.
I mean, if you're not following and you're listening to that, I would definitely recommend that you go over to the YouTube channel to see that, because it's the exact opposite of what I would say 99.99% of all marketers would do, because the metric itself is showing this massive loss. But at the end of the day, it's about new customer acquisition.
So thank you for listening, and make sure that you subscribe and leave a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. We are on every platform known to mankind. A lot of you are on Spotify. A lot of you are on Apple Podcasts, but we're on everywhere else too. I guess we're on iHeartRadio. We're all over the planet, thanks to our distribution team here. And also let us know what we can do better over at perpetualtraffic.com/better. Follow me on LinkedIn. That's Ralph Burns at LinkedIn, and Qasim at Qasim Aslam on all the socials. Make sure you go back and listen to previous episodes and check out our YouTube channel over at perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. All resources and show notes are available at perpetualtraffic.com. And for my awesome co-host, Qasim Aslam, peace. Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.